howdy. Is that better? Now we have a box up here for our index cards, and it's going to reiterate our assignment. And our first one was, what is the single most important concept in the Bible? Why? We're supposed to write it on a little index card or a small piece of paper. And the other one, we talked about a need for the use of your talent, what your God-given talent. And I think this is really hard a lot of times. We're always taught not to be prideful. And it kind of blocks sometimes. But when you look at the parable of the talents, this is not pride. This is using what God gave us in his service. And we need to look inside and see what it is that I'm supposed to do. We have to have purpose in life. We have to know where we fit into the ecclesias. What's our role in the family? So talk about this talent. Sometimes people are kind of shy, and they kind of fade into the background, and there's people like me that yak all the time, so they don't get a chance to talk. At home in classes, I've really tried hard to just listen, zip my lip and listen, you know. I don't need to talk all the time. I have my opportunities. Encourage people who are quiet. A lot of times their brain is working a lot, you know, and there's some of us whose mouth is working a lot. And if we'd listen to them, draw out from them, especially our elders, years and years of experience, that there's no way that you can replace that. Encourage our young people to go to the elders and talk with them. Sit down side by side, one-on-one. We are a youth-oriented society. And that's a sad thing. The scriptures don't tell us to do that. We go to the older brothers and sisters, and that's, we're going to talk about it later in Titus, God's design. But what is your talent? What do I have to offer my extended spiritual family to prop them up, to prop our ecclesias up, to shore them up, to encourage others? And that's what this second question is about. What is your talent that you need to use at this time in your life? What is it? What's the most important one? And sometimes we get so scattered. We try to do so many things at once. We need to just focus on one thing that's most important at the time. And I know there's a lot of things to do, but what is really important? And that's what we're trying to do, is focus on it. What can I do when I go home from this Bible school for my ecclesia, for my family? What is my talent? It has nothing to do with pride. And we're going to talk about pride also in a moment. There's some definitions we're going to do there. Refreshing our memory. What's the real purpose in life? Again, the number one statement, God is here for me, is not a wrong statement. He is. But this is the whole focal point. I am here for God. God manifestation. Living the characteristics of the Father. Life is not about me. Life is about God. And the rewards are tremendous. The things that are offered us are just beyond anything we could imagine. There's nothing on earth it can compare to this. No success, no achievement, nothing. I am here for God. God is the center focal point of our lives. That's what we're trying to teach our children. And our children are very perceptive. They can see what's really important to us. If we tell them one thing and live another, they'll see it just like that. We've talked about a little bit about dads and sons, and we talked a little bit about headship, of the father being the leader of the family, the protector of the family. We talked about how our society today has taken the fathers away from the home and put them separate out in a workplace, and how the father has to compensate. He has to make sure that when he gets home, he doesn't bring too much work home with him, that he focuses on his family, that he spends time in the morning, he spends time in the evening, he takes time on the weekends to spend time on the real goal in life, and that's training those children up and helping his wife get into the kingdom. So, a mom and her daughter, we're going to focus on the ladies for a moment. The most important career for a woman on the face of the earth is a mom. Now, you don't have to have your own child. That's where we get into the extended family. That's where there are moms there with two or three children. Some other ladies may not be a mom. Those ladies need help. Just ask Hannah. Just ask Marie Boma. Just ask a young lady down in Texas with triplet daughters. Ask anyone with several children. Does a mom need a break? And she's going to say, yes. Mom and her daughter. Show this young lady what a wife's role is by your actions. God's design for a woman. Talk to that young lady. We talked about affirming this young man's manhood, walking into the club of men, if you will, men of God. Well, the same way on the mother's side, encourage her femininity, her womanness. I'm not talking about weakness. I mean, there's very feminine women who can drive a tractor. They can train a young horse. They can take care of six kids at once. I mean, seriously, can a woman do it better than a guy usually? Can she take track of the kids? Ask the guys, you know. Women have this ability. It's like, we call it the sixth sense. She can be down in the kitchen talking to the husband, and upstairs in a room where you can't see is a kid, and she knows, something's going on up there. She knows. My mom did. I can remember one time I got this cigar when I was a little guy, much before you're supposed to use a cigar. I guess you're never supposed to use a cigar. And I snuck down to a little pump house down by the tomato warehouse we had there in Carlsbad. And I remember I could never figure out where mom could always know where I was. And I thought, she'll never find me in here. She can't see through walls. So I got in there and I had this big old cigar and a match. I lit that thing up. And I can remember I was puffing in the room, got kind of smoky, you know. And all at once, here was mom opening the door, you know. Well, she looked out of the house and the pump house was smoking. It's coming out the vents and she's like, something's going on down there. She knew where I was. You train your daughters as they grow up, they take care of other children. Teach her to be a woman. All the aspects of it. What is submission? Well, submission has nothing to do with weakness. Submission has nothing to do with having no character, having no opinions. Submission has nothing to do with having no ideas of your own. Submission has to do with being a support team for your husband. Look at those guys that race those cars around. When they pull in there and those guys come out and change a tire and fuel it up and nothing flat, the guy's back on the road. Could he do it without him, without that? No way. That's what the woman is. She undergirds the husband when he comes home. We men act macho. We act like we've got everything in control. And sometimes when we come home, we're in turmoil. If we come from home sometimes from an ecclesial business meeting, and it's been a bit fractious there. And of course, all the brothers are acting kind, and no Christadelphian brother ever raises his voice or gets out of line. But you come home from one of these business meetings, and it is important to us. We want to serve God, and we have strong ideas about how you're supposed to do it, so we do butt heads. But we come home, we're the spiritual leader of the family, and sometimes we come home, we're about to fall apart. That's where the wife comes in handy, to pick you up. Or your business is perhaps really is floundering, and you need some support, and you don't know how you're going to make the next dollar. You don't know how to make the next payment. That's where the wife comes in. She is our mirror. She's the one that tells us, keep on. You can do it, and prays with us at night. We should lead the prayer. And you're teaching your daughter by your support. That's what submission is, support, strengthening him, girding up. And one of the words was like undergirding of a ship, holding it together in a bad storm and keeping it afloat. Is that weakness? No. It's a very important job. Be there. Teach that daughter. Model how to respect your husband. This is one of the things that men need. And I want to start talking about pride here. I'm going to give you an assignment when you get home. You take your concordance, take Strong's and Thayer's that I mentioned, and any other thing you can, and look up all the ones on pride and see what it's talking about. Let me just give you a typical example. We're down here watching Tom and Art teaching those young people to play ball, and they would get a strike. Or they would throw the football just right. And they'd run up and they'd pat him on the back and they'd say, good job. And they might also say something like, I'm proud of you. Well, is that wrong? No, it is not. Because when you say you're proud of your son, you're not saying, I'm arrogant, I'm boastful, you're better than the other boys. You're encouraging him. You're saying, so we're talking about semantics here. But I'll leave that study to you. See what you conclude. But to say, if you don't like the word pride, then say, I'm pleased with you. You did a good job. Children need this. It is true, we're fallen. But if you start telling a child, from the moment he understands about God, that you're sinful, you're sinful, you're sinful, you're a fallen creature, you're sinful, what's going to happen to that child? He's going to fall apart. That's not the first thing we teach them about God. We teach them about God's love. When they can grasp the concept of the fall of man, yes. But what is the gospel? It's the good news and glad tidings concerning the name of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. This is being taught to us right before this class. That's what it's all about. Yes, those other things are important. Positiveness, how to respect your husband, even when that day he might not deserve respect. How to raise a flower garden, or a vegetable garden, or put up or can food, or do the dishes, or mop the floor, or make a dress, or learn how to dress. Teach your daughter how God wants her to dress, how God wants her to put on clothes. And let God mold her and not the world. Teach her how to be a woman of God. It takes time, lots of time. To love children as she grows up. To love smaller children. To take care of them. To love them. To nurture them. Teach her how to be a mom by your actions toward her, ladies. Affirm her feminine being. Teach her what it is to be a woman. How to comb her hair, how to brush your hair, how to make herself attractive. I'm not talking about vanity. I'm not talking about broided hair. I'm talking about being a beautiful woman of God. Teach her about the inner characteristics. And a lot of times the guys are out having more fun. So show her how to have fun at the house. Show her how to have fun everywhere. It's good to be a female. And then it's not weakness. Her real role. These are teachings of God, just like the promises made to Abraham, the foundations, just like covenant, how we live it, how we express it. Then it's okay to ride a horse, to drive a tractor, to help the guys. And depending on the girl, it's okay to use your talents. It might be music. It might be a ball player. It might be art. It might be training a young horse. Everyone is so different. And everything's important. Young lady might be a piano player. When she leaves here, she'll go home and break a horse. I mean, those are sound different. Talents for the Lord. Enjoy life. I think serving God should be positive. Yes, there's sadness. Yes, there's problems. But our Messiah, he endured the cross, despising the shame, for what? The goal that was set before him, the kingdom of God, which is being described beautifully in our other classes. We have to live it. Pray together. Love her dad. God's blueprint for a woman. Let's look at some references. Turn with me to, let me run this up where you can see it a little better. That'll stay there. Whoops. It's not wanting to do it. Ah, we got it. Maybe. All right, we'll fix that. We won't give up on that. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. In Timothy and Titus, of course, are admonitions for bishops and deacons, and but really, when you get down to it, it's for all of us, every one of us. Titus, if I ever get there, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. This is what you're teaching the young women. And it doesn't have to be the mom. There's times when the girls get ready to leave home when another sister needs to pick that up. Because after so many years, a son and a daughter are tired of hearing mom. And they start listening to other brothers and sisters. And that's where everybody comes in this extended family. Encouragement. Positiveness. We deal with problems. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, no gossip is allowed, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, keepers at home. When you have a family, everything else takes second place. Everything else takes second place. The family comes first. After God. I'm talking about our worldly pursuits there. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, a good homemaker, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. a dad and his daughter. Oftentimes, the guy can relate a whole lot easier to the guy, to the young man. Sometimes hard for a dad to relate to the daughter and to know exactly what to say to her, what to do to her, how to mold her, how to shape her. Sometimes we just leave it up to the moms. Some very important things here. Of course, number one, teach her about God. That's the foremost thing. By your actions, by your way of life, show her that God is the priority in your life. Take her to classes, Wednesday night classes, Sunday morning classes, Bible schools, gatherings. Pray with her. Tell her she's pretty. Tell her some young guy's going to be really lucky when he gets you. And make her that beautiful woman that God designed her to be by teaching her from the inside out. Affirm her feminine side. Tell her it's good to be a woman. Even though sometimes the guys do things that seem more exciting, it's good to be a woman. In other words, you're supporting your wife here. Take her on father-daughter dates. Spend time with her. Teach her what kind of a man she should choose for a husband. This is where priorities come in. It is important to provide for our families. Very important. But the most important thing, again, is back to this God center that we teach by example. And look here. Love her mom. Honor, cherish, treat with Christ-like love. She's going to know if the dad honors the mom, if the dad cherishes the mom. Now, does the mom have to be perfect before the husband honors and cherishes her? Well, if she does, it'd never get done, would it? Because we're not perfect. Encourage her talents. Find out what they are. Get to know that young lady and encourage what her job in the ecclesia will be. Take her shopping. Again, buy her some dresses. Help her pick them out and tell her she looks pretty in that dress and teach her what a godly woman is supposed to wear, again, with the mom. Don't let the world shape her. I guess I'm supposed to use the rest of this all at once. Demonstrate a model husband to mom. The family, pray with her. Hug her. Hug her, touch her. In the right way, of course. Because if you don't show her love, she's going to be starved for love. And some young man with ulterior motives will hug her. Teach her what affection is all about. Put your arm around her. With young men, the same way. We're going to talk about that. Oftentimes, men have this thing that you don't touch other men. Young boys need to be touched. They need to be wrestled with. They need to throw the ball to them. They need a pat on the back. They need a hug. They need to be pushing. It's a different kind of touch than the daughters. And the best thing I can tell you, again, is the wrestling. I mean, that's so, so important for dads to do with their sons. This touch is so, so important. We have an epidemic today in our society, and we like to talk about things, but homosexuality. And it comes from one of the things is lack of contact with the dad. Touch that young man. He needs your affirmation He needs you to let him know he's welcome again into the club. Encourage his manhood. Whatever it might be. He might be an artist. Encourage that. Teach him other things as well. Encourage that he's one of the guys. Don't let him buy a false lie that's being fed to our society today. And this young lady, encourage her womanhood. Make her accepted. Make her feel a part of the ecclesia as well. Why are our ecclesias falling apart? Another reason. We're so focused on controversy and fighting those battles, we miss the real meaning. And it's oftentimes like, I call it preventive maintenance. Like, for instance, we're so worried about the building falling in, we forget about termites. We forget about water slowly tripping under the building, or painting, or preserving the wood. These little things that are so, so important, training up the next generation. I noticed the other guy's looking at this clock too and going, oh no. There is so much you can say about this subject. I don't know how you get it done in a short amount of time. These are shaps. And up there where I grew up, there's brush, there's cactus. And the old ones had buckles on the back. This is a set that I got later on. And they were a little bit thicker than these. But you slip these on over your pants. And then I like these because they were a little bit more flexible than the old ones. My old ones were so thick. I mean, they'd turn about anything. And but you slip your legs through them, of course, and then you zip them up from there. And they're made to protect you. They're made to keep your legs from getting all skinned up from ripping your pants. And we also had tapaderos. There was these heavy leather covers that went on our stirrups when we rode in the brush. Because you'd be going, sometimes oak shinry, they call it oak brush, and it tears at your clothes, and there's cholla cactus and all kind of things. And it'll even go through shafts once in a while. Well, we, in our lives sometimes when we get hurt, when we get our feelings hurt in a family or an ecclesia, we'll put on our shafts. We'll make this tough exterior that kind of distances us from people. Oftentimes it appears that we're just aloof. Or sometimes it may appear that we're kind of mean-spirited, that we're just kind of ornery, don't want anybody around us. But usually it comes from pain in here. And we don't know how to deal with it. So we put on our shafts. And we kind of back off from people. We get away from them. We put on this protective clothing. And again, we don't want to talk about feelings. We don't want to, especially a guy, he doesn't want to admit that inside he feels like a little boy at times. And inside sometimes he's scared. And he doesn't know where to turn. But I'm not about to admit that to a brother or in front of a meeting. But I am. Because I feel that way at times. When I get up in front of this group, before I come to the gathering, I agonize over, how am I going to say it? What am I going to tell these people? Why am I chosen to do this? It's a real stressful time. And yet, the other brothers know what I'm talking about. And yet, you have to do it. What is your job? It's going to be hard. But you have to do it. And we have to take these off, brothers and sisters. That's one of our problems in our families and our ecclesias today. We have to be open and vulnerable with each other. Confess our sins to each other. We need little groups of men that will sit around and talk about things that really bother us. And how sometimes we feel inadequate as a father. I look back on my children. I was very protective. I think that probably was my biggest weakness with my children. I was overprotective, and I really, really had a hard time letting them go. It was To me, it was a love of my children. And yet, it was also a lack of faith in turning them over to God when they were grown. And when my son was in Wyoming on a ranch, you know, it was really hard to get up there. It's a long ways off. And now my daughter's up there, and I really miss them. But they are serving the Lord, and that's the greatest joy to me. And watching my grandsons growing up and going to Bible schools, they're training them up to serve the Lord, and that's the greatest gift that I can have. But we do have to let them go. That's the whole purpose of children, to train them up. And just as you get to the point you love them so much, you let them go. You have a very short time, brothers and sisters, that have children at home. Make sure you make that a priority. In the creation, God made purpose. God made purpose. Don't forget the assignment. There's the box right up there, that white box. I hope that's all right, Brother Mike. We already started having cards in it. So right up front there is that box. Purpose. We talked about Balin War. And now, what kind of wire is this? Well, you got it pretty close. This is Bob wire. I don't know what Bob's got to do with this, but and this is a type of wire. When I remember when they came out with this, I think this was made in Argentina. If you still have the roll out there, Adam, and it was called gaucho wire, and it has four prongs. They made it a high tensile wire, and they made it smaller. And this was a fence builder's nightmare. This stuff was hard to fence with, and it didn't stay around too long. I still have a piece of a roll at my house I never did use. It was high tensile, it was hard to stretch, and when it would break and spring back, man, it just nearly cut your head off. This is really good for turning things. We talked about fences and boundaries. And in raising children, we talked about how important it is to build fences, and a lot of times we build a little chain link fence or a little wooden fence to keep the kids in when they're Ty's age, these little toddlers that are going around, so that they can't, because they will be gone, you know. It's like James last night, took off chasing a lady he thought was mom, and he ended up off down there, and then I went looking for him, I couldn't hear him, but Hannah, standing plumb over at the cabin, she hears James going, "Mom, Mom." She could hear him way off down there where he was looking for mom. You know, she had that sense of where James was. Granddad couldn't find him. Now, this barbed wire, we want to be careful with our children. I don't think that there's occasionally we might need a barbed wire fence. But most of the time, let's use the ones that are a little less hard on them. And then in our ecclesias, We talked about our concept of God. Now, here's your third question that goes on another piece of paper, and I'll have to get some more index cards. But here's your third question. What is your concept of God? In one sentence, what is your concept of God? Now, that's going to be a toughie. But think about it. What is your concept of God? And we already talked about Him dwelling in light unapproachable. We think about Him with strength. We think about the name El in the Hebrew, which indicated strength, strong. And yet, Yahweh brings out another connotation. And when Jesus told us how to pray, He didn't use any of those names. He said, "Our Father." So think about those aspects. In an ecclesia, there's usually disciplined brothers. There's brothers who are very authoritarian. They probably were authoritarian at home. And I suspect that's what their concept of the Father is. And God is an authority figure. He does sometimes use this. But what's the whole picture? Well, these authority brothers, they want everything done right to the T. And then you have the love brothers, who really don't want to put up a fence. We entitle them the name love brothers, and I don't like that, because agape love is very demanding. It's commitment love. It's self-sacrificing love. But it comes from the heart. Ah, and it comes from the mind. But this barbed wire, we need to be very careful in using this. And it has its place. It does have its place. Our personalities, there's so many applications. Are we like barbed wire? What's other people's concept of me? Am I like this piece of barbed wire? It's a little hard to get close to me. And I'm always saying, pointing out some fault that you have. What are you thinking, brother? And there's a time for that, but not all the time. So barbed wire, there's boundaries, yes. And God has some barbed wire out there. But let's use it sparingly and only when needed. If we are having problems with ecclesias, if we're having problems in marriages, if more marriages are having trouble staying together today, then what do we do? Well, maybe something different. What is it? Again, I think one of the things is take off the shaps. Let's get to know each other better. Let's talk with each other. Let's call each other during the week when we get home. And if we see a brother or sister that know them well enough, just like you do your mate, and you can ask some of these older brothers and sisters have been here for years with their mate, they can just look at their mate and tell what they're thinking. Just by a look. Becky gave me a look across the room, and I know what she's thinking without a word. Sometimes I don't want to look, but I know what she's thinking. And let's be each other's support team. Let's use barbed wire when we need it. There's reprove, rebuke, exhort. But there's also encourage, love, lift up. Turn with me. Let's look at one more. We're going to go to Matthew 22, but this is one I've used in classes before, and this is two concepts, and we're going to go with this handout. We're going to go to Matthew 22, and in Matthew, turn with me, and of course, we've already read this, and he's really quoting Deuteronomy 6, our Messiah, but Matthew 22, and verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law. And that's agape. I don't know how you pronounce the Greek word. Some say agape. Love. And right in with that is another concept, honor. Honor is a decision. So is agape love. It's a decision. Agape love is not emotion. It is not emotion. Emotion stems from it, comes from it. It is not emotion. It is commitment. When we're married, we say, I will stay with you the rest of your life. When we're baptized, we say to the Father, I will stay with you. I will follow you the rest of my life, no matter how tough the going gets. And I will honor you. Now look at the honor for the Father. A decision we make to place high value, worth, and importance on another person, and primarily the Father, by viewing him or her, as a case of humans, as a priceless gift. And granting him or her a position in our lives worthy of the utmost respect. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, agape, commit, self-sacrifice to, dedicate to, present yourselves a burnt offering to the Lord thy God with thy spare time, with after work. No. With all your heart, everything you cherish, everything you love, your whole being, your whole self, all your heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's our wife and our family. That's our brothers and our sisters. And that's our neighbors. Agape love is not a concept that we can even understand academically. It has to be lived. So many of God's principles have to be lived. We have to demonstrate them in our lives. And that's what families and ecclesias are about. They teach us about the concepts of God, putting them into practice and bringing them back to him, teaching others to glorify his name and to honor him. Thank you.